Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I just ask that every single one of us, in the next 15, 20 minutes, however long it is, would know for certain that you are good, that you are good, that you do good, that you're good all the time. Help us then, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen. I wonder if you ever heard or read or actually experienced this kind of situation. Here's a fellow, we'll call him Bob, okay? Bob is trying to do the right thing. He only intends good, but he's so misrepresented and misunderstood and slandered that nobody apparently sees the good that Bob is trying to do, and in the end, he's criticized by all sides. Ever experienced anything like that? Or heard or seen it or read about anything? See, that is the Lord's experience every second of the day. He is blamed for all sorts of things all the time. Now, Nahum is an Old Testament prophet, and like many of the prophets, he warns of judgment, and the whole letter, there's an awful lot of judgment, and some of it is absolutely devastating. But I just picked out those four words, chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good. Meaning that the Lord does the right thing for the right reason. Now, immediately, that very rare for us, isn't it? Maybe almost impossible for us to do the right thing for the right reason. So the Lord behaves in a kind, loving way, and his only motive is to genuinely help us. Again, we are capable of being kind, but sometimes, in fact, mostly, our motives are mixed, aren't they? So I just want to, from the passage that I read, just pick out a few things that show us that the Lord is good. Just in these few verses, the Lord is jealous for them, like a lioness protecting her cubs. Meaning what? He cares. He cares for you. He doesn't want them to waste their lives. And by extension, he doesn't want you or me to waste our lives either. And all around us, we see people wasting their lives, and we wasting time. And you've done it, and I've done it, wasted time. But it's possible to waste a whole life, isn't it? He's slow to anger. Thank God for that. Otherwise, this world would be one big graveyard. Otherwise, if he wasn't slow to anger, the very first time that you were less than disrespectful to your mother or friend or a teacher, if God wasn't slow to anger, you'd have been struck dead straight away. See, and it goes on, he's just, now this is rare in our society, isn't it? He will not leave the guilty unpunished. We see the law court sometimes it shambles. He's a refuge, he's a shelter. You know, some of you have heard me tell the story, I won't tell it in detail now, about I had to flee when I was about 11 from 3 15-year-old boys, and I had to sprint, and I didn't look back. I must have run 3/4 of a mile home. Absolutely exhausted, my chest was killing me, pounding, and I just got in the back door, and I locked it, and I just slumped on the floor, absolutely drained. But I knew I was safe now. I was home. The Lord's a shelter, a refuge. Do you understand that? Is that your experience? He sends someone at the end of that chapter we read, with good news. Somebody brought me good news. I didn't think much of it, tragically, at the time. And you're only listening now because somebody told you the good news. How stubborn and stupid I was. Are you the same? You've been told the good news? You're only listening because somebody, maybe you brought up in a household that told you the good news, or maybe just somebody you met somewhere. Have you seen God's goodness to you? Or you're one of these people who see the grass is greener over there and over there, and you, it doesn't take much for you, and you're in a sea of self-pity because you don't see how God has been good to you. You think he's been better, that he's dealt the cards out unfairly. You've had a raw deal and everybody else is doing all right. Is that you? If so, you're in big trouble. You need to repent. God is good. Recently, most of you know, two prominent professing Christians have been accused of serious sexual offences. Is my faith shaken? No. You know why? My faith is in the Christ of the good news, not in people who profess to believe the good news. You see the difference? The difference is vital, very, very important. So my text, the Lord is good. In 1993, some terrorists drove a truck loaded with explosives towards the World Trade Center. The truck went off, and six people were killed and 1,000 were injured. 8 years later, two aeroplanes flew into the same tower with devastating consequences. This time, thousands died and something like 25,000 were injured. But my point is this, after 93, did most of those workers in the World Trade Center behave like ostriches and think, oh, it won't happen again? How many of them were praying every day or that the Lord would keep them safe as they went to work for 8 years? See, spiritually, I was an ostrich. Just put my head in the sand. Didn't want to think about it. Refusing to think. What about you? Do you think? Do you think about God's goodness? I remember going home from a prayer meeting, actually, and slumping in front of the TV, and I caught about 2 minutes of a drama. It was a docudrama of a Uruguayan rugby team who were flying somewhere in their own country, and it was bad weather, and the tail of the aeroplane clipped this cliff top. And as it clipped the cliff top, it snapped off the tail. And obviously, because of the pressurized cabin, there were all these people comfortably strapped in their seats, flung out of the back of the plane into eternity. And how many people today will be comfortably thrown into hell? It could be you. You don't think it's going to be you, but it could be, couldn't it? See, in the 70s, 1970s, a mate of mine was very worried about something. And I kept saying to him, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. And I was as wrong could be. And it was a catastrophic blow to our friendship. Do you follow? You can say, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. See, how often have you not taken God's goodness seriously? George Bernard Shaw, the author, an atheist at the time, stood up once in a big function and said, I'll prove to you God doesn't exist. And he shouted, shaking his fist, God, strike me dead then. And the Lord didn't strike him dead, but Shaw's conclusion was wrong. Shaw said, I told you he didn't exist. All that proved was God was good. Mm-hmm. And some years later, as Shaw got old, he said, I have lost my faith in atheism. In the book of Malachi, which I read just last week, the people are told by the prophet, you rob God, and they say, how? And they're told that they're unfair with what they say about God, and they neglect God, and they don't listen, and they're bored with God, like some of you are, and they say, how? They have no awe of him. They don't, not in awe of his goodness. Is that a description of you? Could it be a description of you? And yet you're still breathing? How come? Because the Lord is good. I read on the computer every morning, if I can, if I remember, headlines in the paper, either The Guardian or The Daily Mail, to try and get some sort of balance of what's going on in the world. And sometimes as I'm reading the headlines, on the right-hand side, there are snippets, not important things. And normally, 90% of the time, about people I've never heard of. But this week there was a snippet, and there were two people I have heard of. One was a famous rugby player, the other one was a singer, whatever, and now they're an item. And there they were, their photos in their bathers on some beach somewhere. But the photos are not up there because one was a rugby player and one was a singer. The photos are up there because these are two good-looking people. He's a good-looking guy with the sort of body everybody dreams of, and she's a good-looking girl with the sort of body most women, I suppose, would love to have. And I just thought, yeah, I wonder how often they have stopped to thank God for the fact that they are there because they look good and they had nothing to do with it. God made them attractive. Remember Einstein's great quote, the most incomprehensible thing about the universe is, it is comprehensible. What he meant was, if it wasn't organized, if God wasn't good, then it would be impossible to have any science. We couldn't study anything. It would just be a random pile of pebbles. But it's not, is it? I read an atheist saying the other day, every molecule in my body is there by pure chance. And I just said, well, let's have a look at that. I think when Idris was doing one of his talks a while ago, he said there was something like a million cells in my body. That's a lot of cells to be put there by chance, isn't it, in order. But each molecule, said the atheist, now each cell, the minimum amount, number of molecules in a human cell is a million. So you're now up to 1 with 18 naughts, all by chance. Now, well, you think of that. See, some of you are naturally quietly spoken. You don't have to pretend, that's how you are. Do you thank God for that? Some of you are naturally caring and compassionate. You didn't have to go to a finishing school in Switzerland to become nice. That's how God made you. Do you thank God for that? Some of you are strong-willed and you make a stand for what's right and make a stand against what's wrong. Do you thank God for his goodness in making you like that? Some of you can follow a logical argument and give a logical argument. You thank God for his goodness in making your mind so clinical and so logical. Some of you are clever. You've always been clever. Do you acknowledge God's goodness to you for the cleverness? You didn't have to work at it. It was there. Some of you are friends and family that you enjoy being with. Some of you are hardworking. You won't do half a job. Some of you are highly respected by others. Some of you are willing to help anybody anytime. Some of you were brought up here in the gospel. Some of you were befriended by somebody who told you the good news. Some of you are artistic, creative, observant. You see beauty in nature. Do you thank God, all of you, do you thank God for his goodness to you? Do you? God could have made a world with everything colored shades of gray and smelling of rotten eggs, but he didn't, did he? Why not? Because he's good. In 1960, Theodore Maiman invented the laser. Multi-purpose thing, a laser. But one of the things it could do was, if you had a detached retina, I remember my gran having a detached retina, the only cure then in the 50s was in hospital, lying completely on your back for about 6 weeks, hoping it would slowly sort of knit back. Now, in seconds with the laser, they can weld it, can't they? See, God's goodness enables folks to come up with the most amazing beneficial stuff. MRIs, the wheel, soap, disinfectant, penicillin, iPads, Zoom, all these things. All because God is good. Do you see that? Do you? Do you thank God for his goodness to you? The Lord is good, 4 words in my text. But not everything's good. You are not good. I'm not good. Something is wrong. Sin is many things with many descriptions, but one of them is me playing God by deciding what I think good is. This is what we do all the time. See, the problem, my problem is, and your problem is, and their problem, whoever they are, their problem is, not that I might think, well, I'm not too bad. My problem is how good I am not. That's my problem. See, because there's no future for anyone who's less than good with a good God. We can't have a future if we are less than good. There's the standard, good. We can't have a future if we are less than good with a good God unless he does something. And praise God, he has done something. The cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to this now. A fellow in Africa some years ago had been converted to Christ. And he had a vision. And in the vision, he saw Jesus crawling. Naked now, Jesus. Crawling up through jagged rocks, bleeding, dragging a huge sack. And the Christian in the vision said, "Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, I'm so sorry. It's awful to see your pain. It's awful to see you dragging the sins of the whole world up this cliff face." And in the vision, Jesus said to him, "No, just you were sin." And that's it, isn't it? He took my sin. He took my sin. Did he take yours? How good is the God we adore. In 1974, the undefeated world heavyweight boxing champion, George Foreman, took on an aging boxer in a big fight. The aging boxer was Muhammad Ali. Ali, when he was young and fit, would float like a butterfly, dancing around the ring, even though he was a big fella. Boy, was he quick on his feet. He could float like a butterfly, and every now and again he'd hit you hard, sting like a bee. But in this fight with George Foreman, Ali was way past his best. He didn't attempt to float like a butterfly. He didn't dance around the ring. He just covered up his head on the ropes, and for 7 rounds, George Foreman pummeled him with everything he had. Everything he had. And Harry Carpenter, the famous commentator at the time, said, "Ali looks very tired because he'd just been hit for 7 rounds. But of course, George Foreman was drained too, because he'd hit him with all those big punches, hundreds of big punches for 7 rounds. And then at the beginning of the 8th round, Ali just whispered to Foreman, "That all you got, George? That the best you can do?" And of course, George Foreman said later, when Ali said that, Foreman knew that was all he had. He had given his best. He had hit Muhammad Ali with everything he could. And within a few seconds, Ali came off the ropes and knocked George Foreman out. Probably one of the biggest shocks ever in boxing. On a Friday afternoon, outside the city wall of Jerusalem, Jesus, who alone is good, took on hell and sin and your biggest enemy, death. And they hit him with all they had. They did their utmost. And he died. He died. But I like to think that on the 3rd day, Jesus said to death, "That all you got?" Scripture says it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. And back Jesus came wonderfully. Look out, he's back. He's alive forevermore. Why? Because he's good. I've only got one question now as I finish. Do you see his goodness? Do you? Is he yours? Amen.